Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guests and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. Now, if you have any comments or questions you'd like to make during this broadcast, you need to email me first at bonk@aol.com. And if you would like to call into the show, please put in your phone number so I'll know you're legitimate and tell me what the question is about. And then we'll put you through due to some interrupters that happened to be on the show a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to have to embarrass our guests any more than they need to be. So once again, if you would like to call in or if you'd like to send me your question, send it to bonk@aol.com and I'll bring it up during the conversation with our guest. I just want to make a couple of announcements before I introduce my extremely special guest tonight. First of all, we have our Houston Healing Weekend coming up, the first weekend in March, March 1st and March 2nd. It's going to be in Houston, Texas. It's a wonderful opportunity for women to meet other women who are walking through your life path, who are going through your recovery road, and where you don't even have to say a word and everybody knows exactly how you're feeling. Sometimes having this validation, meeting other women in person, is the best way to move on in your recovery period. So if you would like to join me and some really wonderful women, we have our Houston Strong Women, including Wendy, who does all of our list, Grace, who is a wonder woman in herself, who really comes on our show every few months and helps our women who have husbands who are in hiding and who will never come out, learning how to move ahead. And some of our other wonderful women from Texas, including my little sister Debbie, who's a really strong support person in Dallas. And women are coming from all over the country and also the world. We have our friend Yasna coming in from Australia. So there will be women also, I believe, from Canada. So it's a big group of international women. So if you'd like to join me, please write to me at bonk@aol.com. Do yourself a favor and start that gift of healing. You owe it to yourself, and I think you'll come out differently than the way you came in. It definitely will open those doors for you. Also, we do have our support chats 3 times a week. Tuesday's our new international support chat. It takes place at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to give our sisters in the United Kingdom and other English-speaking countries a chance to join us. So if you're interested in joining and you haven't joined yet, just write to me at bonk@aol.com. Healing is needed wherever people are throughout the country, throughout the world. Also, we have a few other things that will come up in the next moment when I'm going to talk about this, our support group for adult children of gay fathers. And tonight's episode is going to be devoted to that. And this could be a very kind of painful topic as we get started. And before I introduce my guest, Jason, I would like to say a few things. Jason helps me run the group for the adult children of gay fathers. And this is a topic that I do bring up on a number of our radio shows in the last 6 months to a year to discuss an issue that's really hard for a lot of women to have to think about. And I know it's really painful because when we think about the trauma and the drama that we go through and we think we're doing our best as mothers to cover up all of this so that our children won't be affected by it, but it just never seems to work out that way. And this is an important show because Jason was kind enough to, you know, give his time to talk about some of these issues. And I do want to just mention how my introduction to Jason came about. And before I tell you that, I will introduce you, Jason, since you're standing patiently online. So welcome, Jason. I'm so glad you can join us tonight.
Hi, Bonnie. Glad to be here.
Thank you, Jason. And originally I heard about Jason a couple of years ago. His mom had written me a note stating that she had a son who was an adult and who was dealing with several different issues because of the fact that he has a gay father. And I told her that I'm really trying to get some support together, and I really was, but I just wasn't able to focus on it enough. And then once I had Jason volunteer, and, you know, again, I heard from his mom, you know, maybe a year later, have I done anything about it? I started feeling guilty, even though I did a couple of shows about the issue with someone who had a gay father. I just felt like enough isn't being done because I learned so much from that. But, you know, we're always so jammed in here with the women and trying to help them. But I was really, I really determined to go and find, you know, someone to help me do this. And Jason was so gracious to volunteer to help me with the support group for adult children of gay fathers. And that's how Jason and I started corresponding and then talking. And I look at Jason as partly my own. I kind of stole him partly from his mom. I hope she doesn't mind, Jason. But, you know, Jason's like my adopted nephew. So I feel very close to him, and I trust him with everything. He does a wonderful job of lending support to other people in the same position he's in. And I know this is, once again, painful, because as women, we try to always keep things fixed up and to always make things right for our families and especially our children. We always say, even if our marriages were terrible, at least we came out with wonderful children. But the majority of women that I talk to really do believe that, you know, they do their best as mothers to make their children not feel what's going on inside the household so their children can grow up in a household where there's some kind of continuity and they spare them from the fighting so the kids won't know what's going on. And, of course, as I've learned over the last year and a half, this is not the case at all. And before we start asking Jason some questions, I just want to read to you from our website, adultchildrenofgayfathers.com. And this is what it says. Adult Children of Straight Gay Marriages is a private confidential support group specifically for adults 18 years old and older who grew up in a family where one parent is straight and the other parent is gay. Many of us are dealing with the closeted or formerly closeted gay parent, which creates a myriad of issues for us that other people don't understand. The purpose of the group is to foster a supportive environment, atmosphere of mutual understanding and healing. There are a number of support systems in place for both the straight and gay parents when the gay parent reveals the news of his homosexuality. However, there is a lack of support and resources designed specifically for the children. This group is composed entirely of adult children of straight gay marriages or relationships who are here for mutual support. It is not run by therapists, but the group does have access to professionals in the field if advice or help is needed. The group is also different from support groups that work with children who come from a household where there are two gay parents. Members of our group come from homes where there were lies, deception, and often emotional or physical abuse that impacted the family dynamics throughout our lifetimes. Many of these issues remain with us as we entered adulthood and need to be resolved. If they aren't addressed, it affects our own sense of well-being in the future. Some of the issues we are dealing with include establishing trust in our own relationships or future relationships with our partners due to ongoing secrets and lies while we were growing up. Self-esteem, because some of us were keepers of the secret, living with the guilt and blame. Questioning of our own sexuality, coming from a gay parent, and whether or not this has been passed down to us. Anxiety due to family problems between our parents in situations based on daily deceptions. Abandonment issues when the gay parent moves to his or her new life. Acceptance of our parents' new lifestyle and partners. Questioning how many family problems that impacted our thinking was due to our parents' homosexuality and how much of it was reality-based. Throughout the years, we have wondered how this information will affect our personal friendships and relationships. Some of our parents lived a very closeted life, not accepting their homosexuality, passing on the message that something is wrong or bad about it. Regardless of what issues you are dealing with, finding support from others who understand exactly what you are feeling is a major step in healing. And we presently have an online support chat in the Yahoo private room for posting, and if you'd like to join us, you know how to contact us. So that's what our website states, and it's a basic message that has hit home to a lot of people who have read it, who have contacted me, who are looking for support. And I'm not going to tell you there are thousands of kids who are coming to us because they're not. And I think that's something that will have to develop in time, just like finding support for the straight wife had to develop over time. A lot of people just don't want to even have to face this issue or deal with this issue. And I think that the person who can express this best is Jason, since he is in this situation. So, Jason, maybe you could talk a little bit about why this problem is hard to talk about to people.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you so much, Bonnie, for having me on.
Thank you for being here, Chase.
Well, you're welcome. Well, I would say that, first of all, it's a problem that really, affects your entire life. It's something that you grow up with, and it's, I think, a lot of people, they don't know what to make of it. I told some people, I've known for about 6 years, about my dad, and I told some people about 3 years ago in school, and while they were, supportive of me to the extent that they could be, I could tell they really didn't know what to do with the information. It was kind of like passing on the secret to another person, and because it weighs so heavily on you, it's kind of like especially at first, it's kind of like this terrible, and I know that the straight spouses feel the same way, it's this terrible burden to have to carry around this information with you and kind of go about your daily business and not being able to share that with anybody who really understands what you're going through.
Now, Jason, you're 33 years old, correct?
Yes.
And so you found out 6 years ago. So you in your late 20s, I was mid to late 20s, that you found out
your father is
gay.
Right.
Okay. Now, before that time, how long had your parents been separated or split up?
They were still together
when you found out?
Oh, yeah. In fact, my mom only recently filed for divorce. And in fact, they will have been married, later this year, it will have been 40 years. So I don't think they're going to quite make their 40th wedding anniversary.
So they've been split up for a while, right?
What happened was after my mom found a bunch of gay porn on the computer she shared with my dad, and I was away at university, it took my dad several years to kind of come to grips with this, and for them to kind of, hash it out, as it were, between themselves. So it took him about 2 years to move out, and now he's living with happily with another man. That interim period, that kind of 2 year period, when they were still together, and we still had our old kind of, family dynamic, such as it was, which had become increasingly strained with each passing year. And it was just something that I definitely noticed, not having any siblings and being very close to my parents anyway. I definitely noticed the kind of, downward progression of, I could see my dad was getting more and more
frustrated,
just frustrated and uncomfortable and depressed year after year, and it just got worse and worse. And that's something that's also very damaging to have to witness, and which is why I always recommend that if you're a young person and you have the means to get away from your family situation and they're in this situation, by all means, take that opportunity and, leave home for a little while.
I think because sometimes you feel you're stuck in the middle of nowhere. You're
right.
Living the same limbo that your parents are living in, and, you're feeling the pressure on both sides. Now, even though you didn't know for sure your dad was gay until he was being honest about it, 6 years ago, how about growing up? Did you notice anything was off in your house?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's the other thing that's so was so particularly damaging for me, I always felt like, you know, like there was something different about my father, and I could not pinpoint what it was. And it used to really eat away at me. It would really bother me. And I remember very distinctly, you know, looking at my other friends' fathers and, you know, just kind of observing their behavior. And, you know, they're doing things like they're, you know, smoking cigarettes and they're kind of drinking beer and they're, you know, they're watching football and they're kind of, you know, some, not all of them were like that, but a number were, you know, they had kind of certain vices and, you know, what you might call kind of masculine traits. And mm-hmm. my father was seemingly without any of these vices. He was almost too perfect. You know, I couldn't find any kind of dirt on him at all. There was just, he was almost so perfect. He was just uninteresting. And, I knew something was wrong, and just you know, comparing.
Was there like an emotional disconnect? Would you say?
Yes, definitely. I really felt like I remember, you know, like a lot of sons want to play catch with their dad. Mm-hmm. I always felt like it was a big chore for him to do that. You know, like he, you know, he'd rather be doing anything else. And, oh, well, if I insist, then he's going to, you know, do it for 20 minutes. But he, you know, I really got the message that he really didn't, you know, it was an extra effort for him to have to spend, you know, quality time with me doing activities and whatnot. And that was something that that I really felt and it really hurt quite badly, because I know that, you know, I mean, I know that there's some that there are a lot of great dads out there who you know, spend a lot of time, quality time with their sons, and you know, I really wanted to have a dad like that, and who you know, what kid doesn't?
Mm-hmm. Did you feel in any way guilty or responsible for his lack of connection to you?
Yes,
growing
and
up?
That's perhaps, I would say, you know, when people say, well, you know, I don't, I'm not, when some of the straight spouses debate, you know, whether they want to tell their kids or not, I always say, well, you know, you really should tell your kids as soon as possible, because what happens is, at least in my case, what happened was, you know, I noticed something. I think kids in general are a lot smarter than adults. Most adults give them credit for being. You know, they can see, they're very emotionally intelligent. They can detect, you know, the slightest dishonesty in a person. In fact, there was a study recently that found that, you know, babies, like 10-month-old babies, are, you know, they're wired. They can tell whether somebody is being dishonest. And so, you know, I think people, anyway, I have a tendency to get sidetracked on things like that and go off topic. But what I'm kind of getting back to is
children's sense when something's wrong.
Yeah,
right?
By not having the full picture, you know, that what the kids end up doing is they end up blaming themselves. They end up making excuses that aren't true for why things are the way they are, or why things are the way that they're perceiving them. And I think that that's a lot of, you know, and that's very common with, you know, kids going through, you know, their parents getting a divorce, or there's marital difficulties. You know, they're kind of like the designated sick person of the family. They're the most innocent, and they usually bear out the problems of the marriage, of the relationship, in my case, it was before, you know, I was having anxiety and panic attacks at school regarding sexual words. And, you know, so I kind of knew on some level that you know, all was not right in the land of sex, as it were, with my parents. And I was at the same time trying to become going through puberty at the same time. And that's, you know, difficult even for people who aren't in this situation. I would say definitely I definitely felt like it was for many years from, you know, the time I was 13 to about the time I was 27, I had been making up excuses after excuses for, you know, all kinds of stuff that ultimately I wouldn't have had to have done if I had known what was actually going on.
I think that part of it, once again, is the lack of emotional connection. Some gay men just don't make with their children because they don't. And that's not to say they can't be good fathers. There aren't good fathers or loving fathers, because I know some gay men who are definitely wonderful fathers.
Right.
But there are others
exactly.
who are living their own torture, and, you know, they're living their daily lie on a day-to-day basis and trying to keep all these pieces together and not lose control. You know, it could be very exhausting and time-consuming, you know, part of each day that they go through living this lie. So I think that takes away from the ability to emotionally connect with many of our children. I think that you and I can talk a little bit about some of the young people that we've had come through our support chat and some of the issues that they deal with. And I think one of the biggest issues is being a keeper of a secret when young people who are growing up in the family,
Right, exactly.
Some of these kids are burdened by this because they find out about their fathers. And tell them the reactions, Jace.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because for me, I, in a way, I was the keeper of the secret before I even knew what the secret was, if you see. And I think that's, you know, so I have great sympathy for people who, I mean, who know, you know, who some of these people had been, you know, they were exposed to. You know, they found the porn on the computer, or, you know, they saw the web browsing history, or they found other evidence. And some of these poor kids, you know, kept this to themselves for years and years and years. And that, when you bottle up that kind of information inside you for that long, it can just eat away at you. And I know that's essentially what it did for me, but I was, you know, I didn't have any, I was just so sensitive that I was picking up on these cues from my environment and trying to kind of assimilate the new, you know, an adult persona from my father as a kind of, you know, a male masculine role model. And, you know, things were not, the pieces of the puzzle were not fitting together. So it's, but definitely, you know, having to, feeling like you are, you know, like you would be responsible if you told your mother about what you found, I just think is, you know, that's got to be one of the worst feelings that, that you can, anybody can experience.
Right, because, you know, then you're either going to feel that you're hiding something from your mother, and then if you don't hide it, then you're going to feel like you're responsible for breaking up their marriage. That's what people tell us, right?
Exactly.
And they don't want to have to be the one causing unhappiness at other end, so they just kind of break down themselves because they know they're living with this lie.
Right.
And many of our young people have told us that they found, you know, proof on the computer about their father's pornography and, you know, Craigslist habits, right?
Right. And
sometimes
at a very early
even
age,
asked.
Too. I mean, stuff that, you know, and in certain situations, it sounds to me like, you know, a lot of times these guys almost want to get caught, you know. It's, I think, in maybe subconsciously they just become lazy, you know, about not leaving a clean trail.
Maybe they're just, you know, so they're just careless.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe,
think
I
that
guess
they necessarily want to get caught.
Yeah.
But sometimes I think that maybe they do. Sometimes I think they're looking for a way out.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean.
But not a lot, because then they all sit and lie about it anyway. Like it wasn't theirs.
Yes, exactly.
You know, they'll blame it on their children.
Right, exactly. And I mean, that's the other thing that's so upsetting. I mean, my dad, and I was glad that I didn't have, you know, that I was away from home, that I didn't have to experience any of this directly, but my dad, it took him a good, you know, couple of years of, to really have this sink in, and he was so in denial that he spent, I believe it was something like a whole year, going to a therapist and getting nowhere with him. He just made no progress whatsoever. He wouldn't admit to anything. He wouldn't admit to looking at the porn. He wouldn't admit to anything. And, you know, finally he found someone he found another therapist, and I guess he better with him. But yeah, a lot of these guys are in such deep denial that it does take, a number of years and sometimes, sometimes longer for them to kind of come out of that.
I'm sorry,
I probably got...
No, I think, that's, people don't realize that while their fathers are living this other life and the kids realize it, that this takes such an impact on the kids. And so many of them have questioned their own sexuality because they don't know whether, am I going to inherit this? I mean, if gay is not something you choose and it's something you're born and it's genetically predisposed, am I part of that genetic makeup?
Yeah.
And I think that has to really affect a kid's psyche, especially when he's a teenager, right?
Right. That's something that, I think particularly as people kind of get further on in a relationship and maybe more serious and start thinking about kids, you definitely, worry about something like that. But I think overall, you want to obviously make sure that your kid, regardless of whether he turns out to be straight or gay, is going to have a loving, supportive family environment in which to grow up, and that it's okay if he does turn out to be gay. I think that's the kind of the nightmare I think for a lot of adult children of gay fathers is, oh my God, am I going to be repeating the mistakes of my father? I don't, you feel like you don't want to, that old saying, what is it, like father, like son? you feel like it, you hope it doesn't apply in this case.
Well, that's true. But don't you think it would affect... Well, we found it affected a lot of people with their relationships, right, as adults?
Yeah, yeah.
About having trust with their partners.
Absolutely,
about
yeah.
what's real in a relationship and what's not.
Right.
I mean, even you found that difficult growing up, right, as far as understanding what is a relationship supposed to be anyway?
Right. And, in fact, I was really affected to the point where I kind of just... ran the other direction from relationships and was really, I didn't want to get involved because I knew something told me that something was deeply wrong in the realm of relationship, human relationships and sex, and it had something to do with my dad. I think subconsciously I understood that. And so, my response to that as a developing adolescent was just to kind of, basically apply my dad's kind of suppressed sexuality to my own sexuality. And, that's not good. I realize that now. I'm definitely not, I think I'm more inhibited than I am repressed. I would say just to kind of, split hairs a bit, but it's definitely something that I struggle with too, just having been exposed to that kind of, mindset and, being around my, growing up the way I did, and particularly
like, for
not
instance,
having
was
any
your
siblings.
Dad encouraging you at all to be in relationships? I mean, because like you told me at various times that, he was not a role model as far as telling you what to do, encouraging you to go after girls, right?
Oh no, he wouldn't. No, he didn't give me any advice when it came to that kind of thing. He didn't want to see anything. He didn't want to know anything. I think the story goes that, my mom told him to have, go talk to me or something about relationships and the birds and the bees and whatnot. And I remember him coming in to my room, and asking me if I knew about all that stuff already. And I kind of said, uh-huh. And then he left. And that was it. You know, that was the extent of it. But he was, you know, it was very confusing because I was already a very socially anxious baby. I was a socially anxious young person. You know, I was very shy, but I had very high ability. So, you know, I was kept back, and I was, actually my mom thinks I should have been kept back, but so I was kind of, I always was around kind of older kids, and, you know, didn't develop my self-confidence, self-esteem, you know, being kind of the younger upstart. But I was bullied in school, and I remember thinking that, you know, there was a connection there between you know, my experience of being bullied in elementary and junior high, mostly not so much high school, and my father. And I didn't quite, you know, I didn't quite connect that up, but now I realize I think, you know, I don't know anything about what my father experienced growing up in the 50s in the Midwest, but I can kind of, you know, I can take an educated guess, let's put it that way. And I have a feeling that, you know, I do know that he was, you know, brought up in a by Southern Baptist parents in the 1950s. America, so you know that's kind of tells you a lot without saying much.
For but sure.
I'm sorry. So, I have a tendency to kind of wander all over.
No, I think you're doing great.
Well, thank you.
So did you and your father do father son kinds of things? Go to ball games and trips.
We did a limited amount of that. I mean, he did make some effort. I mean, you know, we did go on some vacations. We did go to some, you know, I was in Little League for a time, and I don't recall him ever taking time off work to come and see my games, however. That is a, but we did go to professional baseball games occasionally. We went to see the Giants and, but yeah, so he would do things occasionally. But I always got the impression that, you know, that a lot of that was kind of, you know, I got the impression he was doing it kind of begrudgingly, you know, like his whole heart wasn't really in it.
Like he wasn't looking
forward to
it.
The more I see of you know, catching little glimpses of other fathers, you know, out and about interacting with their kids of around the same age, I realize that I'm right. You know, I'm always flabbergasted. I think, gosh, my dad would never have said anything like that to me. You know, he wouldn't have called me, you know, buddy or kiddo or something, because that would have kind of, you know, acknowledged my existence in a strange sort of way, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, you end up thinking those things. Yeah?
How do you think the interaction was with your mom and your dad when you look back?
How I think the interaction was?
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would say they had a very loving relationship in terms of, it was a loving relationship, but I would characterize their relationship as more like, you know, two really, really good best friends. Almost like roommates, you know. When things kind of started to get a bit awkward is when I hit adolescence, when I was about 13, 14, I remember our dinner table conversations really just kind of took a nosedive into extreme awkward silence, for lack of a better term. You know, I remember things became very, very awkward. And I could sense that my dad was upset about something, and he wasn't showing, you know, he wasn't giving me any clues. And I kind of, I sensed that he was kind of, looking back on it now, I feel like maybe he was threatened by, you know, by my developing sexuality. At least that's what I think. But it's one of those things where you can't really know for sure because he's so non-forthcoming with details about, you know, he's not very introspective, and I that's something that I always have been very good and comes easily to me, being introspective, and I kind of pride myself on that. But
have you ever discussed it with him at all?
I tried going to therapy with him, but he basically used the sessions as more of a kind of a, as if he was on trial, like in a witch hunt or something, you know. He was very accusatory, and he ended up basically blaming my mom and saying a bunch of things that I'm not going to repeat here, but basically blaming a lot of the failings of the relationship on my mom, and basically trying to discredit her in my eyes because he knows that I have a very good relationship with my mom and I'm very close to her. So I felt like that was very, that was a pretty low thing to do under the circumstances.
Absolutely.
So it's definitely something that I don't respect him for. I feel like I was, you know, I'm kind of in the middle of some kind of, sudsy 50s melodrama or something, but at times, or at least I that was the way it felt like a few years ago before things had settled down. Yeah.
And how did your mom react when she found out the truth? Did she tell you right away?
She was devastated. She did tell me pretty much right away, I believe, because we talked on the phone every other day, really. And mostly I would drive home because I went to college close enough to home where I could drive home on the weekends if I wanted to. And so she was, she didn't have anything to hide from me, so she told me pretty much right away, and I'm very grateful that she did, because that's not something.
Did you suspect,
I was old, 27, is, you know.
All right, but were you suspecting anything along these lines of homosexuality?
I was. It didn't. Let's put it this way. It didn't surprise me because seeing their relationship, you know, kind of gradually deteriorate over a long period of time, over a decade, really, and so that didn't surprise me. In fact, not only did it not surprise me, it really made a lot of sense because, you know, I remember, you know, the first things when you find out about this, it's almost like your entire life flashes before your eyes, and you end up putting together a bunch of puzzle pieces that were previously missing from the playing board, you know. And that's what happened in my case. I felt like, my gosh, you know, this is exactly the explanation that it makes sense. Now finally things make sense, and I can stop blaming myself. And it was a huge burden that I felt like it was lifted from my shoulders. Huge burden, and that was, you know, I mean, gradually that's replaced by another burden, which is, oh my gosh, I have a gay father, you know, and not just a gay father, he mostly was a closeted gay father. I mean, that's completely different than having an openly gay father. And what does that mean? And, you know, there's all these other questions that come with it. But when I first found out the information, it definitely was a huge relief, you know. And I think I think most people, in fact, I think all the people felt that way. Certainly all the ones on their group feel that way.
And I think that's so true that, you know, when you find the missing piece, and this is what I call it, that missing puzzle piece that you're holding, all of a sudden things start to make more sense.
Right,
but I
exactly.
think that our children, where we underestimate it, just like the wives have to go through their own grieving, and part of the grieving process is anger, I think
yeah.
our children are going through the same thing and that we're missing
yes.
it.
Yes,
and
exactly.
A lot of,
and that's one. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say
that a lot. Okay, Jace, you talk.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that a lot of the young people that we've been dealing with, and they range in ages from 18 to 35 so far, one of the issues that I think is the anger that, you know, they don't know how to get past it.
Right.
And it's the lies and the deception, and, you know, they just can't understand. Like, we had one young lady who came to us whose father was always claiming that he couldn't help out with her college and her school because he was so broke. And then when she finds out he has an extra house in two different cities, you know, with a boyfriend to go with it, and she's thinking,
right.
you know, here he can't even help me. But
right.
he's having this double, triple life, you know, some in other places. And
right.
there's a lot of anger, you know, that our kids deal with.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, as a male, was it difficult to accept your father and seeing him with another man, the visualization of that?
Yes, particularly at first. I mean, I think, although once I have to confess, once I saw them in their natural environment, i.e. their shared apartment, it actually was not as disturbing as it was, as I had imagined it. In other words, my imagination, before I actually met his significant other for the first time, my imagination filled in a bunch, you know, was much worse than it went than the reality. And I think that's often the way it is. But getting back just briefly to what you had said before about having, you know, being angry as part of the grieving process, I think that's very important. One of the things that I think is very difficult to overcome is the sense of anger that people have, and you know, the it's just, it's almost overwhelming. But I think it is necessary to go through that. You know, it should, it's important to, you know, to cleanse yourself of that, because if you don't feel that anger, you're just going to bottle it up inside, and it's going to be there until you deal with it, you know. And
exactly. I really think that anger is so important in any grieving situation. And the more that we keep it suppressed, the more it's going to pop up on us later on and
right.
be out of control. And
yeah.
I think that young people have a lot to be angry about, because they do wonder, like, what was really real in that marriage, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a legitimate thought, because your father's living a totally separate life, doing other things outside the marriage and
right.
pretending like, you know, there's nothing going on, that everything's fine, that everybody has problems. And, you know, I have a man who recently came to me, and he said to me, listen, our marriage would have broken up regardless, because she's this, she's that, and my boys also feel that, you know, how do you live with her dad? And, you know, already they're, he's trying to line himself up with his sons, well, your mother's crazy at times.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they don't know the truth. And I said to
right.
him, you know, in all fairness, I said, maybe she is a little crazy, but maybe it's because you're making her crazy.
Right.
You know, when someone's living in a world of chaos and confusion and you're not being honest, they become
right.
different people. But
yes,
I hate when
yes.
parents use their children to try to, you know, or they say, well, gay's not really the issue. This would have happened anyway.
Yeah.
No, gay really is the issue, right?
Yeah. Right. I think so. But also, I think, you know, not being truthful about being gay is really the crux of the issue, really, I think. Because, you know, there are people who are gay, you know, who are truthful about being gay, and they're openly gay,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. But it's the covering up and you know, the trying to lead the double life, which is so damaging, you know, you do feel like you're going crazy when you're living in a situation like that, because you feel it really is really bad from a psychological perspective. I don't think most of these guys realize exactly how bad. You know, I know that my dad had kind of these simplistic thoughts like, well, you know, if they found out the truth, Jason would never forgive me, and it would make his life miserable. When in point of fact, I would be more liable to forgive him if he had, you know, fessed up to this, you know, openly and honestly a lot sooner. You know,
exactly.
If he hadn't dragged this out over a 30-plus year period, and when we were all kind of becoming gradually, you know, more miserable by each passing year, you know, I think that's the kind of deciding moment where, you know, if you're, I know that some of these, wives, you know, most of the wives, they enter into the marriage with thinking that they're getting, you know, a straight husband. But I know there are some who, you know, the husband has confessed to certain infidelities and maybe some, you know, bisexual experimentation when they were younger, but they still go ahead and marry him anyway. Well, at some point in that relationship, there is going to be a deciding factor where, you know, where the right thing to do is going to be to come clean, put all your cards on the table, and tell your wife what's going on with you, you know? And I think the fact that so, you know, few of these guys actually do that and do it as soon as they suspect or know or whatever, really, you know, speaks volumes about the kind of, not only the kind of character they have, but the amount of repression that they're, and denial that they're dealing with.
Do you think your mom had any idea or not?
Do I think she had an idea?
That your dad was gay?
You know what? It's funny because she, at one point, she actually, I don't think she had any idea. In fact, she was extremely surprised. I do know that. I was, if anything, I actually had more of an idea than she did, because I said, and I remember this, I said several times when I was younger, when I noticed certain things about my dad, and I would kind of blurt out occasionally. I did this only a couple times, but I would say, "Mommy, Daddy's gay," and she would say, "Oh, Jason, you know, nonsense. Your father's not gay."
And what was
Which
that
is,
about,
know,
Jason?
In hindsight, it's what was that about? Oh, I don't know. It was,
yeah.
I don't remember. It was so long ago. I I don't think I was over 10. I was.
But
you know,
did
was
something
probably,
in you sense that
six.
Your dad was gay, maybe?
I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I sensed. I was an extremely sensitive child, though. I was unusually sensitive. You know, I was talking from an early age. I had very good. A superb fine motor coordination. So I was kind of an unusual kid from that perspective. But, you know, so I was kind of like the perfect storm because, you know, I had this, you know, I was a highly sensitive person and I didn't have any siblings. And, you know, I had a closeted gay father. I already had kind of, I was naturally shy and I was kind of a socially phobic from the time I was a baby. So it was kind of like, you know, the perfect, I was kind of screwed from all angles. So, you know, I mean, it's kind of a miracle that, that I survived in hindsight, but, you know, it's definitely unusual circumstances, circumstances I probably wouldn't wish on anybody else.
How do you feel your relationship has developed now with your father?
It's gotten, well, I think it's gotten better from how it was in the last, 5 to 10 years before he, before we found this out. But it's still largely kind of the same as it's always been, which is to say it's very much superficial. It's a lot of small talk. He doesn't like to talk about many things in depth. He doesn't like to talk about the past. So aside from the therapy sessions that I tried to have with him, talking about my feelings or about the past or the past itself or whatever, that's kind of verboten with him. He just doesn't want to go there. He's been very kind of, he's still the same kind of emotionally shallow. My relationship with him is the same kind of emotionally shallow as it's ever been.
It's like you do your best to coexist with him. You accept him for what he is, and that it's never going to be any different, right?
Yeah, and I feel like I've had to learn to kind of get over, looking toward him for, certain things. Like I don't expect. It used to make me very angry because, before I found out about this, I was, would try to have an in-depth conversation with him. I would try to kind of, get him to do various activities with me. And, I understand that, it's going to have to be on his terms and not my terms. Because that's just who he is. That's not going to change. So.
So, Jason, if other young people are listening to this, what's the best advice that you can give them based on your experience?
Other young people who may be in this situation, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, of course, I guess it depends on how old they are and whether they have, because their level of comprehension of this varies depending on their age, but I would say the best advice is just remember that it's not your fault, and I think those are very important words to remember because it isn't, and you have to kind of pinch yourself and repeat those words to yourself every now and again. At least I've found that's what I have to do, because you can sometimes start to feel like things are your fault, which is how I felt for most of my, for most of the time I was in that situation and not knowing what was really going on. And once you realize that you didn't have anything to do with this at all, And when you really know that and feel it in your being, I think that's very liberating, and that can be very healing as well. But,
and don't you think it's really important to find support during this time?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I think you always feel so isolated, right? I mean, like, if you didn't have other people that you met through this.
Yeah, it's difficult for me, too, because I never really had a very strong social support network to begin with. I would imagine that if I had a stronger social support network to begin with, it would probably have been a lot easier for me. But again, this is going to be difficult regardless. I think, social support is great, but, you also have people, most of the time people don't know what to make of this, but if they're really your friend, they'll stick by you when you're going through this. But it is very difficult, and I think it also does help sometimes to talk to a therapist, even though I know from a number of people on the support group have not really found talk therapy all that helpful. While I agree to a certain extent, I think, especially in the beginning, it can be very helpful. I don't think it's something that you necessarily need to, you know, continue unabated for the rest of your days. But, you know, it's definitely something that has its place because sometimes you just need an outside perspective, you know, to kind of make corrections in your life and just
so I think
to
that
have somebody,
at least you can see that other people are going through the same thing. That's why I feel that support is so valuable. Because sometimes you start thinking, well, what did I do wrong? Maybe this is me. I'm the only one I feel like who's going through this.
Right.
Right?
Like right,
you think
exactly.
That you're all alone.
Right.
I think
and
this
you're
really
not.
Helps
I mean, that's
you.
The thing. Yeah. I mean, that's, and that's what's so difficult about this, too, is that, you know, there's it's the kind of thing that, you know, it's not on most people's radar. And I think you mentioned this before, you know, with like the media, for example, you know, they report on when, you know, the latest so-and-so celebrity, like a basketball player, comes out, but they don't do any reporting on, you know, to check up and see how the wife and his kid is doing, you know, so nobody really seems to be thinking of the other people of the family. But it is difficult, and it is good to know that there's other people going through what you're going through. I mean, that's kind of why I started the support group. It's, you know, there were no resources. You know, there was no discussion group or anything. There were discussion groups for the straight spouses, but there were no discussion groups for their children.
Exactly. And you've been so instrumental in reaching out to so many people, Jason. I can't thank you enough for the work
you
do.
So much,
because, you know, when people need to feel this kind of connection, you know, you're the first to reach out to them and just letting them know that they're in a place where they can feel safe. And even if people just come to us for a short time or one time or five times or 10 times, at least they feel connected that they're not the only person going through this. I think one of the things is that it does affect people's interpersonal relationships with, you know, so many issues of not knowing how to behave.
Right.
How do you act in a relationship? Like one of our women told, who came to the group, said, you know, she's not affectionate at all because she's just copying what she saw in her family. You know, there was no affection and love. And when, you know, the father comes and when her husband is trying to be affectionate and she's, like, put off by it. And she said, you know, he's really concerned with it. And she says, well, I don't know. That's how I grew up. This is what I saw.
Right.
And
I
know. That's why I tell mothers, you know, stop staying together for the sake of your children. You are not doing them any favors.
Absolutely.
You know there's a cancer in your marriage. You need to really work on that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
you need to get rid of it. And I think that sometimes people judge by monetary things. Well, if I leave, then we won't have the house, we won't have this. I always say you can live with less, but you can never buy peace of mind.
That's true.
Peace of mind to me is so important that, you know, you have that mental stability.
Right. I mean, that's a really good point, Bonnie. I think, you know, for in my situation, you know, because I was kind of like the, you know, the sounding board for the problems in the marriage. So I was almost like a red herring in a way, in that, you know, I started having anxiety issues in school, and so my mom was all, you know, distracted, all concerned about me and the problems I was having, when the real problem, not me, it was my dad. And I was kind of like the sounding board for that. So I think, you know, it can be a very unhealthy thing to, you know, that's just as an example, to have this go on without knowing, you know, the full picture, which I think it goes back again to how important it is to tell once you find out.
When your mom found out about your dad, did he want to leave or did she want him to leave?
She wanted him to leave, but he didn't want to leave for a good, you know, a good year or more. So it took some convincing. But I think in the end, I would hope that he's very, you know, he's somewhat, to the extent he's able to feel grateful for her, for what she did, to insist that he go out and lead an authentic life, I hope that he does feel grateful. So.
And I do want to just mention that your mom is such a major support to women who are going through this. You know, she's out there for so many women who, you know, through her support chat line and her posting boards, you know, she's just a wonder, and she's always there also to be jumping in line to help. So you're definitely a family of helpers on you and your mom's end. And it's a shame you had to be helping on this particular topic, but I'm so grateful.
Yeah, I know.
That since we are all in this together, that you know, that you're able to share this insight. And Jason, I'm really hoping that you'll come back on the show, you know, a few times a year. Just, you know, we have to keep discussing this because it is a painful subject.
I know. Yeah. This has been fun, though. Thanks. You made it really, really easy and fun.
Well, thank you so much, Jason. You know I love you. And
I love you so much.
Always crossing my fingers that maybe I'll get to see you soon. But
I'll definitely see you in Houston. I am.
Great, because I told our women who are so excited that you're coming there to do a seminar for them on, you know, having to see the effects of our adult children. And I know it's painful because mothers really do believe they're doing the best for their children without, you know, like I say, to realize that you're doing your best, but it's not necessarily the best for your children. And so Jason's going to really help with
strategies
on that, right?
Right, exactly.
So anyway, Jason, I want to say thank you so much for on such short notice on doing this for us. And
I look forward
to having you back here on a regular kind of basis.
Okay,
you did a great job. I'm so impressed. All right, everybody. Say goodnight to everyone and, you know, love to all of you. And if you want to meet this beautiful, wonderful man, you can come to Houston and get to actually see him yourself. If you can get me away from hugging him. All right, good night, everybody. We'll be back again next week with the Straight Wives Talk Show. Have a wonderful week, and life will get better. Take care. Bye-bye, Jason.
Bye. Bye, Bonnie. Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Night.